Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
I took him number one, right? Let's go to the dangerous one, Daryl Ryder. Gives you this update brought to you by TEC Communications, a local business technology leader for 40 years. It's a big, big morning. The Browns are in the offices right now, Daryl. John Dorsey is meeting with everybody as we speak, getting ready to trim this roster down, really have a great big hacksaw out to it from 90 to 53 this morning. Daryl, first off, how you doing, friend?
I'm good. It is a very busy 24 to 36 hours for Dorsey and company.
Yeah, and it's going to make things even messier here because not only do you cut it down to 53, you're going to have somewhere in the neighborhood of, what, 1,100 players to choose from there in the waiver wires. But let's go over some of these positions here. I want to know, though, first, do you think anybody playing last night, because Lima and I had a bit of a disagreement about this to start the show this morning, do you think anybody playing last night actually played themselves into a job by what they did against the Detroit Lions fourth-teamers in the fourth preseason game?
Well, I don't know if he played himself into a job, but he certainly helped his case, and I think that that was Nate Orchard last night. He was pretty effective, especially early in the game, and then, of course, the 64-yard pick six. So if there was anybody that actually helped his case, it was Nate Orchard, and it's going to present a very difficult question for John Dorsey to answer as he goes through this process. It's now a numbers game. Can Dorsey go ahead and keep five defensive ends and keep one less defensive tackle, or does he still split the difference and keep four each at those positions? That's one of the questions, and again, one of the more difficult ones that Dorsey's going to have to answer. If it's the latter, that means Nate Orchard, it didn't matter. He does not make the football team. If it's the former, then I think Orchard becomes that fifth defensive end that they keep.
Daryl, did you take anything away from Baker's performance last night, or is it kind of like how are you going to evaluate him based on who he was playing with and who he was playing against?
Well, he was supposed to look good last night, okay? He's going against guys that are going to be bagging groceries in a few hours. So, yes, that's what you take away. Baker Mayfield did exactly what was expected of him last night, and that was he played very well. He made a couple of really beautiful throws, but that's what I expected to see from the number one pick in the draft. So before we have the parade and fire up the Baker Mayfield should be starting over Tyrod Taylor engine, have to understand the situation and all those type of things. It was interesting when John Dorsey was in the television booth last night talking with Tim Couch and Jay Crawford, and he was asked specifically, has Baker Mayfield done anything to surprise you, or has he surprised you? And Dorsey basically said, no, the guy's doing what I expected of him and meeting those expectations. So I think that that was a very interesting comment made by Dorsey last night on the television broadcast.
Daryl Ryder, our Browns beat reporter, joining us on the hotline. I asked a question to start the show, and so I'll ask you this, and I know how you've answered this in the past, but are we absolutely positive right now at August 31st, 2018, that Tyrod Taylor can win more games this year than Baker Mayfield could?
Yeah.
Really?
I think so.
Really?
God, Daryl, I'm pro Tyrod. Even I really couldn't answer that question. Go ahead.
No, I am so sick of the quarterback debate because it's not a debate. It's a media creation.
But this is a different.
We're in the media, Daryl. We're talking about
Daryl, but this is different from that. We know Tyrod's a starter. We know that Hugh Jackson's made him the starter. That's not the question. My question is, how do you know that Tyrod is going to win more games this year? I think the Browns have put an artificial ceiling on their season because if Baker came in and looked like the number one overall pick and did what some of the other quarterbacks have done over the last 5 years, I think they could win more games than what they just could do this year under Tyrod.
Well, I'll say this. If I'm Hugh Jackson and I just went through 1-31 with a couple of rookie quarterbacks and my job is on the line this year and the front office is telling ownership we can win 6, 7, 8, 9 games this year, the roster's that good, And my job's depending on meeting those expectations that the front office is setting. Guess what? The last player I'm putting on the field is a rookie quarterback. And
that's such a blanket statement, Daryl. We've seen rookies come in and look really good. Why would you put a ceiling on your season?
Because because my job is on the line, Anthony, and I'm going with the proven commodity.
And that's no way to do business, Daryl. They can't worry about that. That seems like a silly way to do business.
Hugh Jackson has to. His job is on the line here. Hugh Jackson's job is on the line this year.
So my team has to suffer because the last two seasons were terrible. My team this year has to suffer for that.
You honestly don't think they can win with Tyrod Taylor?
No, I think they can win, but I think there is a chance.
Then what's the problem?
I think there's a chance you could win more. Why wouldn't you want to win more?
It's not like you're picking a veteran or that has no track record of any type of success, or it's a journeyman quarterback, or you know something like that. It's not like Drew Stanton is starting over Baker Mayfield. So I have no problem with how they've approached this. I think that for once they've actually done it the right way, and going forward. And listen. Baker Mayfield, the hope is that, yes, he will win more games than Tyrod Taylor at some point. Absolutely. That's why you took him with the first pick of the draft. I don't feel like they're holding the franchise back by starting Tyrod. What they're doing is the person they're holding back is Baker Mayfield because they gave him no chance to win that job during training camp because they wanted to free themselves over any type of a quarterback controversy and make sure that they stick to the plan. And the way you do that is basically you say, you know, Baker, you're getting no reps with the first team offense if we can help it, and you're not going to win the job. And that's exactly what they did.
Daryl, I tend to disagree on one thing. I agree with you on the entire premise of it. I would still say that starting Baker should give more patience to Hugh Jackson for this season. I think that if you hire if you have Tyrod Taylor and you have Hugh Jackson there, if you go 0-2, it looks a hell of a lot worse to start the year with Tyrod Taylor than it does with Baker Mayfield. So I think that gets people very antsy, and I think our conversations could very well change here in just a couple of weeks about all this. So I think that this could in turn be the very best, most safest thing to do to bring Baker Mayfield along.
Well, I mean, they're going the safe route, but like I said, Hugh Jackson's expected to win football games this year, and I think he and the organization is taking the right approach. If something happens to Tyrod, do I think Baker's ready to step in there and have success? Yes, I do. I think that he can step in. I feel a lot better about that today than I did the day they drafted him, or the first time I saw him in rookie minicamp, or during OTAs, or the first day of training camp. Baker has made a tremendous amount of progress, but I think you have to, if you've gone through what you have, you should go this route. It's the intelligent route to go, and I find it difficult to criticize the organization for using what's between their ears in making a decision for the first time in a very, very long time at that position.
The ornery one, Daryl Ryder, joining us here this morning. Did Devin Kajus make the team last night?
I don't think so.
Boo.
Wait a minute. Just yesterday you said he was going to make the team.
I, you know, listen, he had the two catches for 48 yards. He had a drop. He had some penalties last night. I don't know. It's a lovely story on Hard Knocks. Listen, Hard Knocks always focuses on the guy that they always find a dude that's a long shot that's getting cut, and Devin Kajust, I think, is that guy. I do. I admire and respect that he played through the preseason banged up. That certainly wins him some points. I am not convinced that he did enough last night to take a job from Seth DeValve for another player. I'm not sold on it. I'm not dismissing it, Ken. It's not like the quarterback situation. I'm not dismissing it.
Flip flopping.
I don't know that he's done enough to actually win a job. Yeah, I'm on the fence with the guy. He's on the bubble. I'm on the fence with all these guys that are on the bubble because it can blow either way.
What I got a little bit upset with is like, okay, you made a couple of catches against Detroit's fourth team, but you had a penalty on special teams, and I need guys who can play special teams. to be able to get them on the field. So if you're making penalties for me on special teams in this part, because if I'm looking at the Browns offense right now, he's not going to play a whole lot in a starting offense to at least start the season. So if he's not going to play a whole lot on offense and he's going to play a lot on special teams and you're committing penalties on special teams, buddy, there's no room at the end. And you're a great story, but I might have to move on. Same question, though, Nate Orchard. What are you thinking?
Well, as I said, I think he's the guy that did the most to help his case, and it comes down to the numbers game. If Orchard makes the team, that means that John Dorsey has to cut a defensive tackle, because I don't see them keeping more than eight players on the defensive line, just because they need those extra guys for the secondary. You know, Greg Williams loves having those extra defensive backs, and I do think that Dorsey's going to work with the coordinators and, of course, Hugh Jackson when it comes to the composition of this roster to give them the volume of players that they desire at certain positions. So that might be the toughest decision that John Dorsey actually has to make here, because, again, I really thought Orchard did a heck of a lot last night to help his cause.
Daryl Ryder joining us. A few quick questions for you, Daryl. One thing that I told Ken earlier in the show is I'm not positive that John Dorsey is going to keep guys at the bottom of this roster just to keep them when they can scour all the other, and you know he trusts his own scouting. He's a personnel guy from through and through.
Yes, he is.
So I think there could be more cuts than we think, as they could just go ahead and kind of rummage through all of the other guys that are available throughout the league.
Well, here's where they have problems, okay, or questions. And that is, especially now with Justin Curry and B.J. Bello, James Burgess, both getting hurt last night, they got a problem at their sixth linebacker position. The secondary, to your point, Anthony, I have Mike Jordan and Simeon Thomas making the team. They might make the initial 53 Saturday, but there's no guarantee they're going to be on the roster come Monday, because I think secondary is an area they could look for some help on the back end. Offensive line is absolutely a major problem. Sean Coleman's not going to make it. I think Austin Ryder's on the bubble. Greg Robinson is on the bubble. Spencer Drango right now, I got him on the team as the sixth offensive lineman. They want to keep 7-8 of those guys. Again, they could start off keeping guys, but if there are better options on the waiver wire, I'd look for movement on the offensive line. Wide receiver, same thing. The sixth position, Jeff Janis, Damare Scott, Derek Willis. I don't think any of those three guys make the team. I think the sixth receiver comes via the waiver wire. And again, back to tight end. We talked about Kajust. If they decide, hey, Seth DeVal's not going to be ready, or we think we can find a better option for that third tight end spot on the waiver wire or through a trade, that becomes another position that I look for them to address. What I don't see happening, though, is a massive bloodletting like we saw the last 2 years come cut down day, and then they have 12 to 15 waiver wire claims. The Cleveland Browns are a much better football team today than they were 12 months ago, and I don't think John Dorsey needs to get that extreme. I do think, though, anywhere between 3 and 7 waiver claims is entirely possible.
How many wins for the Browns now after the preseason? What do you think?
I'm going to go 6-10. They've got a very difficult schedule, and there's no question about that. I think they are going to start slow to the season. They won one week one game since 1999. I think that came in 2004 against the Baltimore Ravens. So I think that they go 6-10, which for them is a quantum leap forward. Remember when the house got burned down and the roster blown up and draft picks acquired and all that stuff that Sashi Brown did? Yeah. They were stuck in that 4-12, 5-11 cycle. I think it's a major step if they can get over that hump, start this thing at 6-10, and then next year, guess what we're talking about? Playoffs.
No, come on, Daryl. Let's not. Okay, maybe I would like to do that. You know what? I'm in a good mood today. I like that you and Anthony mixed it up and not me and you. So you know what? I'll use the playoffs word with you there, Daryl. All right. Thank you for the time, buddy. All the best.
You got it. Have a great weekend, guys.
The sensational Daryl Ryder, brought to you by TEC Communications, the local business technology leader for 40 years.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.